And I'm Reggie.
And this is R&B Talk.
It is indeed the talking of R&B.
I know. Hey, welcome to the third iteration of the R&B Talk set. Reggie worked very hard. He measured things. He got a tape measure out and measured things. I think that's impressive. Like, everything's symmetrical. Like symmetries.
Well, okay. Usually, you have camera people when you're doing a production, and they know what they're doing, and they'll, like, focus the camera like they're supposed to.
Yeah.
Because we don't have any of that, I kind of had to, like, go a little bit stupid and measure everything out and make sure we're the same distance away from the camera. And,
yeah.
And then painstakingly record myself, adjust the focus, look at it, record myself, adjust the focus, you know, all this. Run back and forth.
And his audio is excellent, by the way, or in his video as well. So
yeah, we're still working on stuff. But
if it was dependent on me for audio and video, this would be the blurriest, garbled to dust up thing you've ever heard in your life.
Dude, you just have everything set on auto and let your phone take care of it.
I would. I'd be like, watch this. Record. That's all I would do. So how was your week, Reginald? How was the week of being a mad scientist genius?
It was difficult.
It was difficult.
It was difficult. Yep. I mean, now that I'm now officially mad scientist genius,
yeah,
there's a lot more expected.
He's got the papers.
Yep.
Yeah.
The paper.
Got his diploma. Very impressive.
With the loudies.
Yeah, I know. With the cum loudies and the Bob loudies, and I think there's even a Russell and a Jay Loudy in there. Just all kinds of loudies happening.
Like, you know what's funny is like I think there's like three different societies or whatever.
There's summa cum laude, magna cum laude.
Not though. Those are like the graduating honors, institutional honors or whatever. If you're academically, you do so, then you're going to get invites to like all these different things. Like this, I know the Society of Academic Excellence and Leadership is, and you pay like what it is. I think what it is, like, as long as you give them some money, that you get to put that you're on this, you know, cool thing. Like the National Honor Society of.
It's resume filler is what it is.
Yeah. I mean, it's all that is, right? So I there's like three of them that I bought into just because it was like, well, why not, you know? And again, like this is my degree is totally not what normal people get a degree for.
Yeah.
Like I'm not in the, it's not for my current field. It was just something I was told to do by the Almighty. So here I am. But, you know, but it's not like I'm looking for a job or even going to use it for looking for a job, you know?
You never know.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So it's just weird, but I'm assuming all this stuff really didn't matter for me, but, you know.
You could start your own society, the Mad Scientist Genius Society. That's like six steps above their societies. Like, you got to be in, like, the upper ether of societies to be in the Mad Scientist Genius Society.
Yeah.
See, I'm in the sort of, kind of, maybe a scientist, but not mad and really not a genius. I'm just a scientist. He's got all the scientific.
I'm not a scientist. I'm not a scientist either.
We are. We're scientists of being cool.
Is that what it is? Wow. That was kind of a dad joke, Bryce.
It was. I'm at that age where that's about the best I can produce, right? Oh, like, man. Dad jokes, you know? Hey, you know what it is. All right, so we need to jump right into something. The most ridiculous thing I've watched on television in probably the last decade would be the presidential debate.
Ding, ding, ding.
It wasn't even presidential. All right, so first of all, okay, I remember watching presidential debates with my grandparents, and everyone was respectful. No one interrupted. One would make their point. The other would make their point. They spoke eloquently. Only until about when Ross Perot was speaking, and that drove me nuts.
Yeah, but he was still articulate.
Yeah, but last Tuesday night's debate, I think it brought shame on our country. I really think it did. I think if there was anybody out there that was not American, that was looking at America, that was hoping for a shred of dignity after that debate, was sorely disappointed. Because you had a Kamala Harris who was, she was indignant, rude. She lied constantly. Like she was, I mean, she just lied. Like she lied in a most daring way. Like she almost as if she was daring anybody to challenge her.
But it wasn't her that was lying.
That was probably whoever's in her ear was lying.
Well, she didn't have an ear, but okay, let's make something abundantly clear. And I think this should be obvious for everybody. Kamala Harris does not speak like that.
No, she does not.
She doesn't. Even, I mean, that this is, I mean, now she still didn't say anything how she was going, how she was going to do anything.
Yeah, she spoke nothing about her policies.
But I'm just saying,
she gave no details.
This was way more coherent and less of a word salad than she has ever, than I've ever seen her speak, right? So clearly she was prepped for some of this, like for all of it. And even given like a here's what you say kind of stuff. If you look at the last 3.5 years, there's no, you cannot tell me that Joe Biden or Kamala Harris has actually done anything. It's been somebody else telling them what to do.
Yeah.
So I really don't, I just think this is an extension of that. That's why they set the debate up the way they did. It was on a very left-leaning platform, on a very left-leaning moderators, without a crowd, all this stuff, so that they would be able to put it as far into Kamala Harris's corner as possible.
Well, and as shameful and as ludicrous as her performance was, and it was, because literally she behaved like, she talked to everyone involved, including Donald Trump and even the moderators at moments, as if they just weren't very intelligent and she was doing them a favor by being there.
It wasn't just her though, man. Trump didn't do anybody any favor.
But here we go. Trump, buddy, this is the reason I don't necessarily like you. If he hears this, he's probably never going to hear this. You just don't know when to shut up. You don't know when to stop. You don't know when to take a break and take a breath. She intentionally baited you, and like a hungry bass, you bit every time. Like every time. Like she and her attacks were so, they were so vapid and just completely just transparent. And anybody with any common sense listening would have known, except him.
Well, the thing, okay, here's the deal. I'll say this. There are these two individuals, either both Harrison or Trump, I mean, they're totally not like the statesmen we used to have.
No, not at all.
Okay? I mean, if you go back, like one of my favorite presidents, Ronald Reagan. Man, when that dude would speak, it was a whole different, even when the liberal media at the time would actually try to get on his goat.
Yeah.
His responses were golden, like always.
Yeah, he just knew how to. He knew how to.
You know, when
I don't want to say spin because that's not what he did. No,
but look at the founding fathers, dude.
Yeah.
Okay, look how they interacted with each other. Were sometimes very heated, but even when they were heated,
they were respectful.
They're articulate. There was some couth involved, right? Mm-hmm. And so we've just degenerated into this nonsense of this political spectrum that is just stupid.
I would say this, and I do say this, and, you know, I've heard right-leaning media say he won. I've heard left media saying she won. Neither one of them made a positive impression on any intelligent American after that debate. It was a literal sideshow of nothing. Like there was no content. There was nothing that I walked away from going, oh, well, I didn't know that about this person. There was nothing done by either side that was worth the 90 minutes spent watching it.
No. And I mean, it just, that's what I, there's, there was no, it's look, if you read all the, and I'll even go like, here, the most idiotic reporting of the debate was Jon Stewart on The Daily Show.
Yeah.
That was it was dumb. It was really dumb. And it wasn't funny. And sometimes, this is the thing about Jon Stewart that really kills me. I think every once in a while, he like decides to say the truth. And then the producer's like, whoa, you need to, no, you can't say all that. And then, because like, when he first came out about Biden and Trump, and the very first thing when they were reintroduced to The Daily Show, I thought that was a fantastic. I would have listened to Jon Stewart and kept listening to him if that's the way he kept going. But it was like immediately the next one, he was like, he got his hand slapped or something, because then he like totally changed his, you know, and had to like apologize and all that. Not necessarily apologize, but it was you could tell there was pressure on him to do something. Well, and say something.
And let's not forget. No, let's not forget the shameful slanted behavior of the moderators. First of all, the lady who was moderating, you could see the disdain on her face every time she spoke to Donald Trump. Like, it was visible that she was not at all going to give him a fair shot.
That was clearly on display when they were talking about the abortion,
yeah,
stuff. And it was just this, like, I don't know, the lip curl well, that she was trying to hide is just not there.
You know, and I do want to point out something I think is very telling. And I picked this up today just because the whole argument that they were having about, you know, whether 9-month abortions actually happened, and Kamala Harris, of course, made a false statement. No, they never happened. In 2021, 5 babies were born alive after failed late-term abortions. All 5 were left on the table to die. Information confirmed by the Minnesota Public Department of Health. So, you know, and this is a prime example. And this is what I mean by this is a prime example. Instead of Kamala Harris acknowledging that, yes, maybe that happens, and it probably shouldn't happen, she totally dismissed even the possibility that it may happen or has happened. It was almost laughed at. And to me, that was insulting. Like, look, we know it happens. It's been reported. Nobody's making it up. Now, is it possible that Trump was exaggerating? You know, maybe, but that doesn't make the statement completely false. And I think that things like that, those are the things actually in the debate that really kind of shut me off. Look, again, we've talked about the abortion thing. What turns me off is when there is factual information that is being placed into an arena where people will be willingly ignorant. And she was being willingly ignorant of the fact. And that is what scares me most about the possibility of her being elected. It's not, I could care less that she's a woman. I could care less that she's a black woman or an Indian woman or half black, half Indian. I don't care. None of that matters. What matters to me is that she would go up on national television and willingly and willfully and ignorantly lie about a subject to avoid acknowledging it.
I mean, the thing is that it just goes beyond that for me. When you, like, a good debate has substance. And there's lots of good debates. I mean, there's a lot of good debaters. There's been people who are famously good debaters, right? Mm-hmm. Who take the stage, they vigorously debate a topic or something. And that's usually what we had some really great politicians that's what they did, right? So you have two people who obviously have no idea how to debate anything. And they haven't. Look, in anything, in any of the late, the Vivek Ramaswamy is probably the closest thing I've seen to somebody who actually spoke with logic and substance
and passion at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, so, but because here's the deal with all this. When you talk about willfully ignorant, I just, you know, when you get up there and you just say, "Rah, bad man, rah, you're a crazy woman, rah," and it's just this whine fest of, "No, he did this, she did that, he did this, he did that, he didn't do this, he didn't do that, she didn't," but there's nothing about and clearly understanding that there are issues.
Yeah.
And I think it doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or Republican to acknowledge that we have issues. Now you might, and this is where I think the problem with our current political spectrum is, you can't even get people to acknowledge or agree on if they have issues and what this scale of those are. Because the open border thing is a huge one that is just massively, just seems like it's an ignorant thing to talk about because people don't understand or don't realize the impact that is actually having, right? Yet there are excellent, smarter people than me who have devoted like all these statistics and science and all the mathematics and whatever to say this is how things need to work. Because keep in mind, there's a couple different areas where there is actually real mathematics behind how many people we could intake into our country.
Yeah.
We're not infinite. We don't have an infinite number of resources or anything like that. And we still haven't fixed what we have. There's math behind how many people we can actually take into the country. There is legitimate and reported factually that there's incidents with illegal immigrants doing violent crime in the country. There is, it's not anything that anybody's opinion about that is happening. Now, the thing about they're eating the pets and stuff, I mean, there's been solid reporting and stuff about this.
Yeah. Now
I mean, I'm not saying that this is a widespread thing, but I mean, it's been reported on.
Again, this is one of those things where I don't think that forum was the place to discuss the pets getting eaten. Like, I don't think
it was comedic more.
Anything. I don't think he knew how ridiculous he sounded. You know, a lot of times Trump sounded like a guy losing an argument. Like he would come off with something ridiculous to try to gain traction and it would just make it worse. Like he's like, "I'm not winning on the border. They're eating the pets."
Like, what? Lassie's got somebody's dinner, man.
I know. It's like, all right, dude, I get it. But he missed so many opportunities to like craft an argument. And it just, again, it showed me that there's no good choice, man. Like there's choices that are better, but we really don't have a choice between quality and quality, right? Like this is.
The only thing is, okay, so Trump actually said Kamala's a Marxist. And specifically said, "Hey, she's a Marxist. Her dad's a Marxist professor. All of that stuff is factually true."
Did you notice that she did not dispute that when he said it?
Well, yeah, because and this is the thing, she didn't. As a matter of fact, she did the whole Sebastian Gorka did a thing and said her body language is indicative of her acknowledging the truth or something. Which, yeah, okay, whatever. But she didn't dismiss it either.
Yeah.
And I truly think that this is where most people don't understand that she is a Marxist.
Yeah.
And she is okay being one. This is the Democratic Party's ideology is Marxist and socialistic. I don't understand why people don't, it blows me away that this isn't true. Now, if you think those two are okay, then that's a discussion that's worth having. I want to know why you think those principles are okay. And probably the first question is, do you even know what those things are? And can you define those for me so I know where you stand?
Yeah.
I know what Marxism is based on Karl Marx and his writings and perpetuated by some of the other.
Well, you know what the saddest part about that is? Most people who claim to be Marxists have no idea what Marxism is.
No.
It's so sad that You so desperately want to belong to something that you'll adopt an ideology that you don't understand or know nothing about. But I mean,
Trump ended the debate how he should have started. Let me say that. When he said, there's all these issues that she's saying she's going to fix. Why hasn't she fixed them in the last 3.5 years? And you get this response, and I've seen this come up on a number of times. Well, she's only the vice president. So she's second in command of the entire country, and that means she doesn't help fix any of the problems?
Yeah. That to me was her weakest point in the whole debate. I'm just the vice president.
Now, look, I think people don't understand the roles of the president and vice president very well and what their actual powers and their statutes are. I think they're defined. But you have to understand, too, that they're the leading voices of the country.
Yeah.
They may not go in and write bills, vote on bills or whatever. But they're certainly involved in all of the any number of things.
They can be the deciding vote on epically impactful legislature.
Veto power, you still have that. But I'm just saying, like, you know, it goes beyond just the written roles and responsibilities of the office of the vice president and the office of the president. They do still lead their political parties, and they still kind of head things.
They
and
still
push
have
things.
Influence.
I mean, it's important. You know? But here's the most important one thing I did watch that I found, because I don't know much about J.D. Vance. Okay, I don't. I watched his speech on the RNC thing. I thought, well, okay, he spoke pretty well,
pretty eloquent.
Clear, way better than anything I've heard from
Tim Walz. Yes.
Tim Walz or Kamala. And so then I watched Sean Ryan interviewed him yesterday. And I think he speaks, it's a fresh air listening to him answer questions and speak to Sean Ryan versus Trump or Harris. I was delighted that it was actually clear and articulate, and like there wasn't just word salad or some propagandist nonsense that's spewing out. It was actually it was impressive. Yep. I really enjoyed it.
Well, and guys, if you've not watched the Sean Ryan show, right now it's probably my favorite podcast. I don't know if you listened to the Megyn Kelly episode, but
a little bit. I haven't watched all of it.
I have so much more respect for her after listening to that episode and listening to who she is and what she is and why she does the things that she does. I have a much further reaching respect for her, not because she's right or left, but because when you hear someone's story, just like when you hear J.D. Vance's story, when you hear someone's story, it's usually the foundation of who they are, and you get to learn a lot about that person. And I learned a lot about Megyn Kelly. Sean Ryan's been on fire lately. His guests have been absolutely, I don't know what magic pool of guests he's digging into, but man, he's had some great shows. The recent one he did with Mark Geist Oz from, 13 Hours. And then he interviewed the female liaison for that. Her interview was fantastic. Like, he's on fire. But
well, let me say this about Sean Ryan though. Clearly that dude does his homework.
Oh yeah. Like, he researches.
Like, it's crazy, like, how prepared he is for these interviews.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's really impressive, dude. Like, he reminds me of the modern, now Tucker Carlson.
Yeah.
How Tucker, because now you would expect that out of Tucker Carlson. He's like a seasoned journalist.
He's a veteran.
So he should be. Now, he was held back at Fox and had a different view, but now he's on his own. He's clearly like he's an actual journalist and doing what he's supposed to do. So I think Sean Ryan is so much like that. It's just impressive.
Yeah.
But
anyway, I think that my takeaway from all this is we're no closer to knowing who's the favorite to win this election. If anything, I have a dimmer view of both candidates after this debate.
I just think it's going back to why I think this matters for the debate. I think J.D. Vance is certainly a much more clear-headed, much more intellectual, much better speaker and communicator than any of the other vice president or presidents or candidates. So there's that. But second of all, he made a really good point on the Sean Ryan show. So Sean Ryan was talking to him like, you know, what's all the getting into like the war, prospects of World War III that we have going on. And so J.D. Vance actually answered that with, well, this is the, you know, we have the situation with, you know, the Ukraine and Russia. We have the Israeli and Iran and Hamas and all that stuff in the Middle East. And then you also have China and Taiwan. So all three of these are powder kegs for World War III. That's where he was going. And he was saying, he goes, how could you say you want Kamala Harris to be the one that goes and talks to like the Chinese leadership behind closed doors and everything and try to defuse the situation or whatever? That's really who you want to be doing that job? You want her to go into a room with Vladimir Putin and have, you think she's going to be able to like be on par with Putin? Putin's a brilliant dude, man.
Yeah, he's the thing I've noticed about Putin is he likes to play dumb. He does. He's said a lot over the last month or so. Like when he went on national Russian public television and endorsed Kamala Harris, he wants a weak president. He wants someone he can manipulate. And the only thing that you can say about Trump is he will not be manipulated. And he's not afraid to meet people head on. I think the whole reason that Kamala didn't meet with Netanyahu was because she couldn't handle it. I mean, Netanyahu's coming out of a country that's under attack by terrorist organization. He's had 1,200 plus murdered so far. And I say murdered because it's murder. And she was going to have to answer to... She was going to have to answer to him as to what her position was, and I don't think she could. I think it would have been awkward word salad times 1,000.
Yeah, there's no unburdening from that situation.
Yeah.
No. But that's what I think that's a great point, though. I think even if you're a Democrat and you look at that and go, would you really think Kamala Harris would do well against the likes of some of these other superpowers? And yeah, actually be going toe-to-toe with these people, unscripted, unprompt, you're just them and the other leader trying to hash things out. No. False. That would end poorly. It's ridiculous. It's the same thing if Biden tries to go do that.
Yeah.
Who's putting on Trump hats, apparently.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand that at all. That dude's obviously lost it. So, I mean.
Well, here's the thing. I don't think we have a president right now.
I don't think so either.
I honestly think that He has just gone the way of the samurai. Like, he's just, I'm going to go do whatever I feel like doing. I don't care what anybody thinks. You ain't going to be able to do nothing to me.
But anyway, the debate was stupid.
Yeah.
It didn't do anything. It really was. I mean, is it even worth people watching? No.
I'll tell you what. I hope that Vance and Walls have a debate, because I feel like that would be wholesale slaughter, like on the highest level. I think Vance is so much more critically intelligent and so much better spoken than Walls is. I don't think Tim Walls would survive that debate.
I don't think they're going to, dude. I think this is the only bait we're going to see, period. I think
that's
this
a
is
shame.
It. I think it's it. They're not going to do it. And that should tell you a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Now, also, too, anybody who's got half a brain should know after the debate who gave an interview. Trump did.
Yeah.
And he fully talked about the debate and everything else. Harris was nowhere to be found. You're not going to be able to talk to her.
Because it wouldn't have been scripted.
Exactly.
She's incapable of engaging anyone. And see, that's another scary thing too, is you think about all that's going on. You think about China and Taiwan and Russia and Ukraine, and you think about the Israel-Hamas war and all the things that are happening around us right now. And we have the potential to have a president that, unless it's written on a piece of paper or spoken through an earpiece, she can't handle it.
Again, what has he done?
Yeah. Yeah.
What has she done?
The only thing
she's done is put 1,500 black dudes in jail for marijuana.
Yeah.
Give me a break, bro.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't mean to belabor it, but one of the points she made last night was, I'm the only person on this stage that has prosecuted transnational gangs and cartels and great. So why did you stop when you became vice president? Did you just forget how to do it? Did somebody be like, no, that's bad. That's bad image. Why? If that was such a platform for you, why'd you stop?
See, this is anyone that I know of, me or you, or any number of people that I know in my close circle. If any one of us were to be on that stage instead of Trump, she would have been annihilated.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't have been this or that. Just think about if it was just freaking Ben Shapiro up there.
Come
on.
My only responses would have been asking questions. Like, okay, great. Why'd you stop?
Yeah. Or like, well, we did this and we did that. Well,
awesome.
Okay. So the 3.5 years what happened? Did you just
decide to take a break?
I mean, was it too much for you or what? No. I mean, dude, it's not hard. Anyway, okay. Get back here. But yeah, the debate was horrid. And I really don't see any value in going. I mean, it's really not. I think Trump is tired. I think Trump, look, you got to understand that dude's been on the road.
Yeah. He's been doing what Kamala won't. He's been doing rallies and doing interviews. And I mean, you got to give it to the guy. He's walked into hostile territory and done interviews.
Yeah.
Like, he's been in interviews that to call them filled with contempt would be being nice about it. But he head first went into it.
And he doesn't have an earbud. Nope. I mean, it's him speaking.
Yeah.
So, I mean, look, I'll just say, it's not that I don't think there's an excuse here. I just think that it was just a poor showing by both.
Absolutely.
But honestly, that was probably the best I've ever heard Kamala speak.
Yeah, but it wasn't her speaking.
That's what I mean. It really wasn't. I mean, that was night and day different than what she normally does, you know. So yeah. You get to unburden yourself.
Unburden by what has been, was, and what has been had.
And then walk forward.
How dare you speak Merry Christmas?
One step. One step.
How
time.
Yeah.
With your feet.
Yeah.
Make sure you put one foot.
You see.
You use the foot.
You see, the Ukraine is a country and it's next to Russia. And what had happened was Russia came over into Ukraine's business and then some things happened.
And on this contrary, it's like, they're just stupid people. They're just stupid. We just need to get rid of all the stupid people.
Yeah.
We spend all this money on all this stuff. And
they're so very stupid. They're just stupid.
They're
so stupid. How about you explain why they're stupid?
I don't know. It Donald, just blows me away. This is our options, bro.
I know. Donald.
Oh.
I can hear his third grade teacher. Donald.
We don't
explain yourself, Donald.
Okay. I do want to say this, though. This is beside the point. I really don't. I understand it, but like the contempt for the word stupid that we have, that is, it's now considered like a bad word anymore. Okay. But the thing is, it's real. It has a definite meaning that exists.
It's an existent demarcation for the level of intelligence inside of a person.
It's willfully ignorant.
Yeah. It's willfully ignorant.
I mean, if you're stupid, you're stupid. Yeah. And I know, hell, look, I've been stupid before. I'm not saying, look, I just don't understand why it's like so.
I've done and venom. Said stupid things. Stupid things. I've done and said stupid things. I have no problem admitting that.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't understand. Like, this whole, like, words are violence nonsense and stuff. It's kind of along those lines, like, where it gets to. So, I mean, so Trump's use of, like, stupid a lot, it really don't really matter to me. But I just wish he would say, like, put something else with actual substance behind it instead of just, well, you know, there are these people who did this. Anyway, there we go. Okay, Brian, look, debate. We talked about that. It was a clown car that needed to be emptied.
It was.
So let's talk about what you want to talk about.
All right. So, guys, we're creeping up on the holiday. Halloween is coming up. And, you know, this whole subject we're about to breach, it's probably not an at-length subject, but I feel like it's something that we need to touch on. And that's the spiritual realm, ghosts, hauntings, you know, all those things. And what are they actually, as opposed to what do some people believe they are, right? And I actually was a little bit surprised when I got into some research on this, because it goes a little deeper than you would think. But there's really a basic dichotomy here that we need to realize is that, okay, so we talked about this on a previous episode, that the devil was cast into the abyss. The abyss was where God created Earth. So this is the place where evil occurs, right? The devil uses demons. But there's no such thing as ghosts. Like, there's no such thing as spirits trapped on the earthly plane and they haunt the same room over and over again. It's just nonsense, right? What it is it's demonic. It's demonic. It's the devil using demons to influence you and distract you from what you should be paying attention to. I'll give a great example. A few years ago, when I was living in the Ville, we went to Waverly Hills.
Yeah.
We did a 4-hour tour of Waverly Hills. Very interesting place. If you go look at the history of that place and everything that went on there, if you were ever to suspect that a place might be haunted, a lot of people died there. There was a lot of people there looking for an experience, right? They were looking for the demon or the ghost or the lady of the blah, 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 or whatever. And the whole time we were there, there were shadows and stuff, but most of it was caused by the lights outside. And people would be like, look, a shadow. And then outside the window, it's a light shining through the window causing a shadow. Was it definitely kind of a heavy place to be in? Because if you studied the history, yeah. Like tens of thousands of people died there from tuberculosis. And then a bunch of people died when it was a nursing home. Mm. I mean, it was very much a place where a lot of death happened. So I can say that going in there, it's a pretty heavy place to go, right? Because you're standing in a place where a lot of tragedy happened. Am I going to say that nobody's ever seen anything? No, but what you're seeing there is demonic. If you're seeing anything, it's demonic. And I don't mean it's demonic like it's Clarabelle and she can only haunt this room and she's the... No, it's demonic. It's distraction. It's the devil using the tools that he has to draw you away from the path you're supposed to be on. And I don't deny that people haven't seen demons. I mean, go back to the Bible. Legion. Right? There's experiences within the Bible that are very much connected to demons and the visual sighting of demons and things like that that went on. But that's what it is. It isn't, you know, whoever's whatever haunting whenever. It's the devil, man. It's the devil. It's the devil distracting you. It's the devil trying to scare you. And mostly using it to convince you that there is something other than God. Because when you start to believe, most of the people that you talk to who believe in hauntings and things like that, they're not people of faith.
No.
Now, there are exceptions to that rule. If you look at, there's several, you know, Catholic exorcists and people like that who have done, tried to expel demons, right? But that's few and far between in comparison to the mass of people that are convinced that there's this otherworldly realm that is just lurking behind the curtain or whatever.
Yeah. We'll make it clearer.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do this. There is, and I don't care how you translate this in the New Testament or Old. There is no such thing as a ghost that is a person who's died and is now hunting things.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. The New Testament especially is really, really clear about you live once, you die once, and there's two places you go, to a heaven or to a hell.
Yeah.
There's nothing about purgatory and I think that's, purgatory is a thing in the Catholic, and we don't have time to get into that, but you go before judgment, and you are either, you go to two places. That's it. There's no in between. That's it. What the Bible does do, especially when you talk about in the New Testament where the disciples and Jesus and everything else, there's plenty of examples of demons being cast out and all this kind of that. That is very clearly there, and it still exists today. Yep. And the things, keep in mind that they're angelic or fallen angelic beings, either one can interact with the physical realm. Yes, there is a spiritual realm, but it's not something humans are sitting in there and can interact with the physical realm. That's not, there's nothing in the Bible that specifically lays out that a person who has died will be able to interact with the physical realm. However, it clearly does say that angels and demons are serving their masters and doing and going about to those purposes in the physical world we live in. So, and this, anything you see like that is demonic.
Well, it's, you know,
or I mean, you can't, okay, let me, oh, I'm sorry, man. One thing. Okay. Yes. You can have the holy God, angels can do things too. So, I mean, it's not like there's only bad and there's if you see anything, but clearly though, there's a difference. Like, the angels who are serving the hierarchy of the archangels and, of course, to God, are going to be doing things for the good. Whereas the demonic stuff is going to be trying to deceive and really confuse and pull you away from the truth. So just that's the demarcation.
Well, Hebrews 9:27 declares, man is destined to die once. And after that, to face judgment, that is what happens to a person's soul or spirit after death. The result of this judgment is the heaven for the believer and hell for the unbeliever. It goes on to talk about there's no in-between. There is no possibility of remaining earth from a spirit as a ghost. If there are any such things as ghosts, according to the Bible, it absolutely cannot be a disembodied spirit of a deceased human being. Furthermore, the Bible teaches very clearly that there are indeed spirit beings that can connect with and appear in our physical world. The Bible identifies these beings as angels or demons.
Ta-da.
Angels are spirits of beings who are faithful in serving God. Angels are righteous and good and holy. Demons are fallen angels and angels who rebelled against God. Demons are evil, deceptive, and destructive. Demons masquerade as angels of lights and as servants of the righteous. Appearing as a ghost and impersonating a deceased human being definitely would seem to be within the power and the abilities that a demon would possess.
Yeah.
So one of the things you got to remember is the devil loves to play in our worst pain. So you lose a relative and the devil sends something to say, hey, I'm your lost relative. He's doing that to give you false hope. He's doing that to convince you that God's final decision isn't his final decision. Yeah. So that being said, you know, the closest Bible example of a haunting is found in Mark 5, 1 through 20. A legion of demons possessed a man and used the man to haunt a graveyard. There were no ghosts involved. It was a case of a normal person being controlled by demons to terrorize the people of that area. Demons only seek to kill and destroy. They will do anything within their power to deceive people. Let's deceive. And to lead people away from God. This is very likely the explanation of ghostly activity today, whether it is called a ghost or a ghoul or a poltergeist. If there is a genuine evil spiritual activity occurring, it is the work of demons. Yeah. Those are real things, right, that happen. And all of that is, and I will send you the link. I actually saved the link. This is a Got Questions. Got Biblical Questions, Want Biblical Answers is what this website is called. And it's a great website. It just kind of, it takes common everyday questions and kinds of helps answer them.
Yeah. But the whole thing here though, that there's not human beings who have died, who will have a, can't cross over or any of that stuff. That doesn't happen. So to further make that point, the Bible's clear about not using somebody who's a quote-unquote medium or psychic or whatever like that, because you will be inviting the demonic forces in. That's really what that does. It's not because it's not, you cannot talk to your dead relatives. It's not going to happen.
It's just not something that can occur.
I've said, and I don't know, I don't have any evidence of this because I really don't care. Alien things are demonic. That's kind of where I'm at. Aliens are demonic more than they are some kind of otherworldly thing that.
I got to say, I liked Brett Weinstein's. As everyone knows, I'm a Joe Rogan listener, and Brett Weinstein was on Joe Rogan, and Joe Rogan asked Brett Weinstein, what do you think UFOs are? And Brett Weinstein says, I think they're projections. He says, I think that they are, he thinks it's more of a subversive thing from the enemy, you know, to throw us off the scent of any, of discovering any new technology that they might be developing. He says, he believes it's intentional. So it could also be something like that. But yeah, if you're seeing like little green men with big black bug eyes and
think about this though. When I said this the other day, like I don't recall any Christians being abducted by aliens. Like I don't know if that's even been queried or not, but I don't recall that being a thing.
Yeah.
And so, and I think the whole abduction thing is kind of weird. Like that doesn't make any sense. It really doesn't, you know? And I'm leaning more towards the demonic forces just being what they are.
Yeah.
And 'cause keep in mind, if we had clear videos or like actual clear evidence of anything, that'd be one thing, but we don't. It's always blurry.
Be clear about this. If there were ghosts, like full on ghosts, full on like hauntings, with the amount of media we carry around an instant recording device in our pocket, we would have solid evidence by this point.
Well, I have seen some things that turned out not to be doctored that were about like a haunting or something where things were moving around on their own.
Talking about like people that say, oh, I saw a full embodiment.
Spirit.
Well, as many cameras, recorded devices, video, there's always a camera or always a video. So we would have a picture at this point. I think a lot of that is either self-induced psychosis.
Well, it can be though. I mean, I don't say that.
Yeah, I'm not saying it can't be, but for me, I just have a hard time believing at this juncture
Somebody wouldn't have captured it.
Somebody hasn't captured something, a real picture or momentary video of a full embodied ghost at this point. Now, I'm not saying that there are not things that go on that you can't explain. I mean, you know, you talk about, I mean, Ed Lorraine Warren and the whole deal and situation they had with the whole Amityville thing. There really wasn't an explanation for how she knew. She just knew. Now, we can go down the rabbit hole of Ed and Lorraine Warren and their entire history. It's very fascinating. I would encourage you to get their book and read it. It's a very good book. You know, Ed Warren was one of the few men who was ordained by the Catholic Church and the Pope to do exorcisms that was not in the hierarchy of the church. He was not a cardinal. He was not a deacon. He was not any of those things. And they did a lot of work to try to help people. Now, one of the things that impressed me about them is they would call it what it was. If they went to someone's home and, yeah, your water pipes are making that noise, that's what they thought it was. But I believe that I believe there are things that people are going to see, and there are things that are going to happen. But I don't believe in ghosts and
but I will say
Frankenstein
that
and vampires and
we have to remember that dreams are used by by the demonic and by God to send messages and stuff like that, right? And you know, I do believe that people can dream these things, can be very real and all that stuff. So I don't know. I lean towards that a little bit, but let me ask you this, Brian. Since we are talking about this, you know, the supernatural, and if there really is no ghosts and goblins and all this stuff, that it's really either you're really demonic or you're not. So I have opinions about how Christians should approach Halloween. So does that affect what you think people should do on Halloween?
No. And I'm going to say something controversial that I've caught a lot of flack from people that I've known in the Christian world. A kid putting on a Frankenstein costume and going door to door and saying trick or treat and getting candy is not a sin. It's not evil. And I think a lot of the problems that we have with the church nowadays, especially the Western church, because the Western church seems to be in this divide and conquer state right now, is you have a young, impressionable kid. You can go one of two ways. You can teach them how to live in the world and not live of it, but still enjoy life. My son's enjoyed, Caleb doesn't anymore, but my youngest, this will be his last year. And I'm hoping that he goes and enjoys it and enjoys taking part in the fun and the laughter. And I don't encourage pranks. I don't encourage the trick part of it. I think that's all. But I think this legalistic stance that people take, after my sons go out and trick or treat, I don't go home and celebrate the winter solstice and the Wiccan, blah, blah, blah. None of that. Like, to me, that is not even attached. Right. So there's this. No, I don't think it's at all.
I think there are boundaries, though.
I think there are boundaries.
I mean, so what we do the same thing, right? I mean, we want our girls to have fun.
Yeah.
Because using your imagination and like playing is different in that case, right? What we don't allow is like dressing up as a witch.
Yeah.
Or some kind of like anything like that. I mean, if they wanted to dress up like a horror movie thing, although they wouldn't know that because we don't let them watch anything like that. Yeah. But I mean, you know, later on, if it'd be like, oh, they, so we don't do that. We don't want them imitating things that are evil or things that would be demonic and considered like, and so we're against that stuff. Okay. Haunted houses. We don't do haunted houses or anything like that. For one, it's dangerous for me. If someone comes up and tries to do a jump scare or whatever, you know, it's 50-50 whether or not I'm going to punch somebody. It just is. I'm just, it's, you know, but I just don't, so I don't do haunted houses. That's just bad news. But, you know, it is about acknowledging that it isn't about a, for us, it's like, okay, go have fun, mm-hmm. but make sure it's fun and we're not imitating evil.
Well, and I put it this way too. If you can't let your kid dress up as Shrek and go trick-or-treating, you can't let them pay dress up at home either. Like, so pick your battles, right? Like, look, man, I don't condone any of those types of things as far as where we would take it to a point where we're evil. But I'm not even so much worried about somebody dressing up like, you know, I don't want to say like a horror movie character, but somebody dressing up as like a vampire. As long as they understand that it's kind of like Shrek, it's just a character. It's, you know, like the vampire from, what's the Adam Sandler vampire movie where...
Little Nicky?
No, the, it's... It's Hotel Transylvania.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. I don't go blah, blah, blah. That's hilarious. I mean, if anybody would think that that's a depiction of evil, I struggle with you.
I mean, but it is, isn't it kind of like you're taking, it's just trying to make evil look nonchalant and stuff?
Not really. I mean, but I'm also a big believer in it's only going to be a big deal to them if we make it a big deal.
Yeah.
So if they see let's just say they see a Michael Myers mask and they're like, Dad, this is a cool mask. I'm not going to go into the history of Michael Myers with my 8-year-old son. Yeah. It's just a white mask, son. Crazy looking hair.
Will Shatner.
You know? Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to go into this. I'm not going to fill my kid's head with, well, that's Michael Myers and he's the devil being and he stabs and murders. No, I'm not going to tell my 8-year-old kid that. I'm not, because I'm not going to instill that fear in them. Right.
I think you just have to be aware of it.
Yeah. But let's say I come in and they're watching a Michael Myers movie. Well, that's different because there's a story being told on television that's not something they need to watch. Mm-hmm. So, but I also think that has to do with, be open and talk with your kids, right? Be open and talk about difficult things.
Dude, you have to. In my house, I mean, like the kids, we've let them watch Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Me and my wife both are like, hey, this is a movie. This is a fictional thing. This is not real.
Yep.
But I don't want them playing like they're Harry Potter either, though. I think it, because that's imitating something that I know is very real, that people are trying to do these witchcraft type of things. And that's not good. And that's not okay. That doesn't exist. There's not like good witches, you know, that's not accurate. It is that there is a reason why not to do that.
But I also think too, that it has something to do with what you instill in them. Right. Like,
yeah. But I mean, like, I just don't want to take that for me. It's like, I'll let them watch something like that. That isn't vulgar or whatever. It tells a story.
Yeah.
But I don't, at the same token, I don't want them imitating things that are very clearly demonic and evil, that kind of thing. So
what you're saying? You say Harry Potter is a demon? I know what you're trying to do.
No, I'm saying Harry Potter is very much a fictional character that doesn't. But if you were to try to legitimately be a witch or a wizard in 2024, it's a demonic thing to do.
Well, yeah,
and that's what I mean, right?
And then also, I would question your sanity if you were trying to be a witch or a wizard.
Look, I've known them, dude. I'm telling you,
I've met a few that are quote unquote Wiccans. And then you ask them exactly what that means. They're like, you know,
no, I've known some, I actually have known, I know some legitimate who are very much into that and they're adults. And I mean,
sad.
Yep. But look, again, that's just where it is. But the whole key here with the supernatural thing is like, as a Christian, if you're really a Christian, you won't be ill-equipped for an encounter with a demon. And what I mean by that is, if you are in the Bible, you know what the Bible says, you're actively participating with your relationship with Christ, and you're trying to make that better.
You are active in the church.
You're not just I'm going to go to Sunday on Christmas and Easter, and that's all there is to it. But if you're actually taking it seriously, then you really don't have much to worry about. It's still a scary thing. I'm not going to say that. It's still not a comfortable thing. I'm not going to say that either. But there is, but you are covered, in so to speak. And the Bible's clear about this, right? I mean, like, you can't be possessed by a demon if you're already possessed by the Holy Spirit.
Well, and I can honestly say that I've gone back through and thought about things that have happened in my life that to me were just weird, or, and I go back and think about that now, and like, those were encounters, right? Where the devil was trying to pull me away. So, I mean, and look, a lot of people will look at this and go, those dudes are crazy. They think about angels and demons. I don't sit around and worry about this. Like, I never really have. I've been around long enough and lived long enough to understand that I'm going to run into things that I can't explain. But the best way for me to prepare for them is to pray and be educated in what I believe. And what may come, right? So I don't want anybody like sitting on their front porch looking under their car. Is there a devil under my car? No, that's not the way it usually works. You know, but I will tell you that to try to be more open to the fact that when a relationship goes sideways or a friend takes a turn for the worse, that could be the devil trying to put a little bit of a spin on your life, right? And spiral you out of control. So just be aware and be ready for it, right? Am I saying that you'll never see a full-on demon? Nope, can't say that. There have been plenty of them pop up, and plenty of them, you know, the devil's the devil. He'll do whatever he's got to do, right? He knows he's short on time, so he's desperate. He's going to do whatever he has to do within the realm that he's been given to try to turn you away. The biggest thing he wants to prove is that he's better than God. And unfortunately, he's done it.
That's what we're trying to do too.
Yeah. You know, so it's, but you know, just use your common sense. Just use your common sense. That's all I can say. Right?
Yes. Well, if you enjoyed this content, make sure you like and subscribe and leave a comment.
If you enjoyed our new set, which is metrically correct, you could leave a comment.
Well, we'll see. We'll see how post-production works, but including the microphones, because this is different than what we normally do.
Yeah, we went back to the lapel mics because the other mics wanted to do the droopy swingy thing.
Yeah.
So.
But until we're sitting behind a table, it's really better to do this probably.
Yeah. But on that note, I would encourage people to listen to the facts, look at the facts, and live accordingly. Too many people living in the fantasy of what they would like the world to be. We need people living in the reality of what it is. And I think that attaches.
Speaking of that, though, we had a situation in Kentucky where there was a shooting.
Yeah. Which, by the way, they haven't found him yet, have they?
No.
That's kind of scary.
A guy was up on a hilltop shooting down into the interstate
with an AR-15.
Well, they think.
No, they found it.
Did they find it?
Yeah, okay. They found the gun.
And then there was a couple people that were, no one died, I don't think.
But there was serious injuries. One was shot in the face.
Now, the one cool story, this is why I bring this up, because I think this is what you won't hear in the media. But there were several, I don't know how many, but there was more than a couple truck drivers who where actually they boarded a bus, a school bus, that when everything got stopped and they shut down the interstate, they actually formed a protective ring around the school bus.
That is awesome.
And you won't see that reported because, you know, it's a good thing, which unfortunately they don't want to do. But yeah, I just thought that was freaking fascinating. You know, that these, you know, these guys are driving their trucks who knows how many miles, right? Yeah. And they're not from around here yet. This
risking school, their careers, their lives to save a school bus full of kids.
Yeah, just to make sure a school bus full of, you know, is protected and they won't have any problems, right? I really say hats off to those, whoever those guys are. I mean, that's amazing. And there's still people like that. I think that's what gets messed up in this whole conversation. You still have people, and thankfully there's a lot of them that will do the right thing or put themselves behind somebody else's well-being or whatever. I mean, there's still those examples. You saw that at the attempted Trump assassination, and you see that all the time and a lot of other scenarios and violent stuff and everything else. So I mean, look, there's still, it's not like
still good in the world.
Humans are all bad. You know, there's still people who are trying to do the right thing.
Still good in the world.
So just hats off to those. That's pretty cool. But we're on B Talks.
See ya.
Bye-bye.